can we, as individuals in the United States, most effectively assist and support Tibet in gaining its freedom and safety?
Regarding Tibetan freedom struggle, they now today Tibetan nation and its unique cultural heritage now really facing threat of extinction, mainly you see, due to the Chinese population transfer. So this is something very, very serious. For my part, in order to save or protect our nation and its unique cultural heritage, which have some potential to benefit for millions of other people in that part of the world, I made every effort to reach some agreement on the basis of mutual agreement and mutual trust. But so far, last 14 years, is effort, no result. So now this experience now clearly shows that our own effort, no matter how sincere, so will not come the meaningful negotiation. So while we are trying to have meaningful negotiation with the Chinese government, the international community's pressure is very, very necessary. So fortunately, now recent years, the awareness about Tibetan issue much increase, and particularly in this country and many European countries. Already, you see, many resolutions passed, you see, they recognize Tibet as occupied land. These are, I think, the very, very, very significant sort of development. So still, the citizen of this country, I say, you can,
These several resolutions have been passed in the two houses on Tibet, and still I think it is very important for citizens of this country.
Shungi China been the most favored nation the Kadulia and the Pavanji
did. Still I think it's very important for individual citizens of this country to express your concern and support for Tibet through your representatives, through your constituencies, so that your concerns could be felt at the governmental level. And also, as to the issue of renewal of the most favored nation's trading status towards China is concerned, it is an issue which is linked with a Tibetan issue as well. So that's something that has to be kept in mind.
Actually, in this moment, one ancient nation with unique cultural heritage now actually is dying or passing through most difficult period. So your help is very, very essential. I want to express my deep appreciation. Actually, I think on behalf of 6 million Tibetan people, I would like to express my deep appreciation and thank to those people who already, you see, they showing your staunch, I say, the feeling or support for our issue. Thank you.
How can we explain the idea of unity to those who have never thought about the idea that we are all one? How can we explain that all are equal and need the same things from this life?
Oh, that's a new question. I don't know. Perhaps I think if I met with someone who really do not believe human beings are equal, right? Then I think I will try. First, I think I will go to the feeling, the level of feeling level. Then the way of birth, and then way of death. I think then eventually you see they become clear. They all from birth till to death, and the deeper level, all experiences. Same, I think, same. And perhaps I think they whether Easterner or Westerner or Southerner or Northerner or this or that, they can marriage. That also, I think, one indication. We are same human being. Perhaps that's, I think, I may utilize that kind of reason. But whether the other person convinced or not, I don't know.
Does happiness begin in the self or from others?
I think both way. Both way. Sometimes the happiness starts from within. Sometimes because the whole family or the society prosperity, more happier, that gives you tremendous sort of satisfaction in a happiness. I think both. When we try to build happier society, then initiative must come from individual. Once you have this kind of mental determination, all your involvement gives you satisfaction.
Do you have suggestions about how to handle a great personal loss, such as the loss of a child?
I think that much depends on personal belief. If someone is who believe rebirth theory, then accordingly, I think there are some way is to reduce sorrow or worry. And then those people, is someone who do not believe rebirth, then I think the simple way is, even you make too much worry, what benefit? Too much worry ruin your health. And as a result, kasota, phajole phaya yamala susle ek chhora aro. Thongele phaya ki yamala susle banata mathe cha yamba ina. Thongele ma phaya ki man chhora la susle phaya ki mandwa.
So being too overwhelmed by the sense of loss and sorrow, if you carry on in that sort of overwhelming feeling, it not only is very destructive and harmful to yourself, but also it would not have any benefit to the who has passed away.
For example, is my own case is the most respected tutor, as well as my mother's, and things like that, and also my one my brother, is when they passed away. Of course, I feel very very sad. Then I constantly thinking, no use to too much worry. And if I really love these people, then I must fulfill their wish with calm mind. So I try my best, to follow that way. So I think someone who lost your dearest, I think that's the proper way, as a remembrance.
So what is the best way to keep the memory of that person is to see if you can carry on the wishes of that person.
And then also if you feel too much worry, then again, now think the other people who have similar or even worse tragedy, then that also gives you some kind of condolence, right? If you feel or some tragic things happen only on you, that kind of appearances sometimes, then if we try to make comparison, the other experiences,
often what happens is that when you are overwhelmed by a sense of loss, you get a feeling that it's only you who is going through this. But in reality, there will be others who will be going through the same kind of experience. So once you realize that, then you no longer feel isolated, as if you were single-pointedly sort of picked out. Is being in the company of worldly people a test, benefit, or hindrance to one's spiritual growth?
That depends on one's own level of experiences. If the person or practitioner, very initial stage, and one's own experience very weak, then sometimes close relation may hindrance, may become obstacle. But when you have some experience, some ground of the practice, then it is very good for test or this. So that depends on individual. Just like I said, like a sport, right? Sport game, right? Very beginner, and if you go with them, you immediately get one hit, finish. So if you gain, you see, more experience, then you can match. So they're similar. I think the mental, you see, the level also, you see, more or less is a similar thing.
How do you feel about the teachings of other religions? And do you feel that belief has progressed or regressed in today's society?
Of course, the major world religions, there are differences, the fundamental differences. Usually I use explained like this way. The among major religions, there's a one group as a religions with the central belief is creator, central faith is creator. Then another group of religions, they do not accept creator. So you see, godly religions, but all major religions, of course, you see, in the past, through many centuries, you see, all these religions provide, I think, a tremendous benefit for millions of human beings. Even today, at the time, the religious belief somehow, you see, they're a little bit disturbed. Even this moment, the millions of people still, you see, get a benefit, get some kind of inspiration from these different religious traditions. It is clear. So in the future also, you see, these different religious traditions will give inspiration for millions of, you see, coming generations. That's fact. So therefore, it is very, very important to realize, you see, that reality. And then also, when we say that every human being is equal, all are equal, you see, everyone have the, you see, they have the, how to say, the desire of happiness. And everybody have the right to be happy person. And everyone have the right to overcome suffering. So from that viewpoint also, the millions of people, you see, they follow, you see, different religious tradition or having, you see, benefit from different religious tradition. Therefore, we must if we respect others' right, then we must respect all these, you see, major religious tradition. That's clear. And again, you see, thirdly, for example, you see, to me, Buddhism is best. That does not mean Buddhism is best for everyone. Clear. If I believe, you see, Buddhism is best for everyone, that's foolish. It's a nonsense. You see, each individual, different people have different mental disposition. So in other words, the variety of people need variety of religions. That's clear. So therefore, we must, you see, appreciate the value of all different religious, I say, the major world religious tradition.
How can warring nations make peace, i.e. Palestinians and Israelis?
Yes, these are very, very complicated. It is quite clear. When emotion, human emotion, you see, develop in such an extent, then sometimes, you see, it is very difficult to reason. So the emotion, once become out of control, then at that moment, nothing can be done. Like Bosnia's, you see, event. I'm quite sure, if you ask individually, you see, those people who killing one another, even within one family, you see, killing one another on the basis of different religious belief, and if you ask what is your purpose, or what is your reason, they may not have answer. But it's simply, you see, killing one another. because of such, you see, emotions, negative emotions. Perhaps here I think the 2 points I think raise or comes from this experience. One, when such things happen, then first I think most important thing is for temporarily some try to make cool down. Then there is hope, you see, to start the genuine, meaningful dialogue or negotiation. Perhaps I think the Palestinians now, the recent use of development, that also I think the last, now is the few decades at the beginning, it's very hostile, but then you see time goes, eventually a little bit I think cool down, then I think they reach the level of reasoning, and then you see compromise, spirit of reconciliation. Now that's happening. So that's one way. The important point. Then the most important thing, this I believe, in the past and even today, it seems, you see, when things are really developing, I think that we should learn from our past experience. Now the important thing is, I think we must have vigilance. The area where, you see, the possibility of that kind of, you see, things are about moving, then at that time, it's the right time to handle, to prevent. The Buddhists, you see, believe when, you see, and cause and effect, law and causality, when the causes and the conditions are sort of fully developed, then no power can stop that. So some causes and some conditions about moving, at that time, so we can prevent, we can stop it. I think we must learn from our past experience. In future, that's, I think, really very important.
Where is the best place on the planet for me to go next, where I can do the most good?
Oh, that I don't know. Anyway, quite a silly question.
How do you charge and keep the positive charge going all the time when there is always someone or something pulling you down? How do you stay positive? It seems I am positive, then go to negative.
So time factor is very important. Now my own case, I think I started more serious practice, I think started age of 16, 17 years old. So now today, about 58. So it's quite a number of years more serious practice. So the time factor is major factor. And then it's a constant sort of meditation. You know, there is two kinds of meditation. One, single-pointedness meditation, and one, analytical meditation. Now, such case, the analytical meditation is the most powerful. So, you see, every day, say, as soon as we get up, then, you see, try to develop some kind of, say, sincere motivation, positive motivation, and make some kind of determination or will, or I will utilize this day more positive way. I should not waste, you see, this very day. And then at the night, you see, before bed, check what I have done, whether, you see, this the whole day, whether I utilize as I planned or as I determined this morning or not. If goes accordingly, then, you see, they make more
rejoice.
If goes wrong, try to regret and make sort of self-criticism, things like that. So you see, time goes that way. Eventually, you see, the positive mind will gain strength. If you see this someone who have some belief, some religious practice, then the other, you see, the practice become important element. For a Buddhist, now the compassion or the positive motivation also, you see, the for that, the wisdom side, the practice of wisdom also, you see, the very important factor. So combination, wisdom and motivation go together. With sincere motivation, wisdom become more meaningful, and with wisdom, the compassion become more strengthened, more sound basis. And like, I think, the taking care about this body, you see, we need variety of vitamins and things like that. So the spiritual strength also, you see, need various different ways, because the obstacle side also, you see, equally variety.
Just as the obstructive faculties that we find within our mind, the afflictive emotions, thoughts, and negative attitudes and so forth, just as these are very complex and varied, you also need multiple approaches, very varied and also complex approaches in terms of overpowering them.
Then lastly, I would like to appeal or to mention to you, that is the, I often call minimize hatred is something like internal disarmament. Now that disarmament must go with external disarmament. Fortunately, now after the Soviet Empire collapsed, that at least for the time being, no more the threat of nuclear holocaust. We should not miss this opportunity. Now I think we must strengthen the genuine force of peace. Now peace, not just mere absence of violence or absence of war. Just mere absence of war can produce by weapon. Like you see, the nuclear deterrent, you see, create that just a mere peace, just as the mere absence of war. But that is not genuine, lasting world peace. It's the peace must develop on mutual trust. So the weapon is the greatest, how to say, the obstacle for development of mutual trust. And so long the weapon is there, there's some kind of trouble always happen. Look, you see, in Africa, in former Yugoslavia, because of weapon, the food is not available, weapon is available, very bad. I think through science and technology, I think we really remarkably, we marvelously, I think, achieve as far as weapon is concerned. Now that is quite sufficient, now quite okay. I think now time is come, you see, another time, I think that now to think how to get rid of this as a weapon. I think that is very important. Of course, cannot achieve overnight, step by step, with, I think, the realistic sort of way of approach. We must make very clear about our ultimate goal. This whole world should be demilitarized. So please keep in your mind, whatever way we can make small contribution, that's very important. That's our, I think, responsibility. Thank you very much.